Pod. 22 grand. Pod. In the city that sounds nice. Huh. How's it going anyway? You alright?
Alright, yeah, not too bad.
Good stuff. Whereabouts are you?
In Stoke.
In Stoke, okay, not too far away from me then, yeah, in Manchester.
Oh yeah, not too far.
Okay, cool.
I always thought you were in London for some reason.
No, yeah, I used to live in London, and Tom's in London. But I moved out here for, have a family and all that. Can't really do that down there, can you? But yeah, obviously, cheers for coming on. Like, obviously, like...
I'm nervous about it.
But yeah, you've always, been looking at your photos with all the guests we've had on and stuff, and... You know, you've tagged a few, which has been great. But yeah, kind of take us right back. Like, how did you end up, you know, taking photos at some of those crazy gigs back in the day?
That's how that all started. I just always took photos at gigs, always had a camera with me. And then it was the gig at the Underground with Babe Shambles. Yeah, where, I don't even know what it was classed as, to be honest. But when Carlos turned up and then they ended up on top of the van outside and all everyone, I was out in the street and stuff, and it was that kind of the promoter from the gig, he was like, oh, I'm gonna get in touch with NME about last night, have you got any photos? So he had a couple of my photos, and then that was it. It was just, I got a contract with NME, and it just kind of spiraled from there.
Oh, amazing. It was there, that the one in Stoke?
Yeah.
And the Paddingtons were there, were they?
Yeah. Okay, that's it. I think you shared some of the photos this morning, didn't you?
Yeah. I thought it was from Stoke, but I can't remember, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, quality. So you just, like, it was just a hobby to start with kind of thing?
Yeah. Just always gone to gigs, always had my camera. And then, like, with the Libertines, because, like, I really got into the Libertines and I was like, I need to capture them. And then I just kind of pushed a bit more. And then they used to have some people that did the merch for them. Can't remember the names. I really should do. But there was two girls that used to do the merch and they were like, oh, we'll get you a photo pass. So I got a photo pass. I think the first one was Manchester Academy. Probably like 2003, I think that was. But I didn't even have a proper camera. It was just like a little, kind of like a bridge camera that I used to just use for everything. And it wasn't brilliant quality or nothing, but I was like, oh my God, I'm getting photos. And then that was it. And then with the NME stuff, they used to just... Because they did like Club NME, the Underground was one of their venues. So, like, you know this, but all the bands used to tour all the venues. So, like, whoever was at Club NME in Stoke could be like at Leeds or wherever the following week and stuff. So, I used to just do it every Saturday night at the Underground. And like, the bands that were coming through was just ace at the time.
Yeah. I was looking at some of your Club NME photos today. Quite funny. Quite a lot of nostalgia, obviously, looking at it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so how would it work with NME then? So you're just doing every Saturday night at that club night, whatever band was playing?
But it was great because I used to go there anyway. So ended up, I used to get paid like, I think they used to pay me 150 quid. It seems like a lifetime ago. But I think they used to pay me 150 quid to go to the Underground on a Saturday night.
Sorry, isn't it? In 2005.
Just mental, yeah.
Excellent.
I'd be going out anyway. It was great. And it was in the days where like NME had come out on a Wednesday. So like every Wednesday I'd be there flicking through looking for my photos and stuff.
Yeah, quality. And like I've done it I did it at one or two. We put on a night in Hull once a while ago. And we took it in turns taking photos. But it's actually quite a good way of meeting people, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah. I met people back then, like, say, 2004, 2005, that I'm still really good friends with now, all this time later. But that just, because it was, like, my local venue as well, and, like, the owners and all the promoters and stuff all knew me, and I was doing it for the NME every week, it kind of got me into, like, a rhythm of getting good stuff, and, like, I just had access to all the bands, and I could go backstage, and... Just had like a free run of the place, really, which was great. And for building up my portfolio in them early days, it was just brilliant.
Yeah. So did you have any kind of
other stuff?
Yeah. Did you have any like kind of formal training, or were you just kind of learning as you went?
In photography.
Yeah.
I've done loads. I did photography at school.
Right, okay.
So I started at school. That was just because all my friends were doing art and I couldn't draw, so I was like, I'll do photography then. But yeah, I just loved it from then. And then I went to college and did it. But I used to work as a medical photographer.
All right.
So like that was like my full-time job doing medical stuff. And then all the gigs were just like a hobby that paid, which was
Okay.
nice.
What's
Got to
involved
do
in
like,
medical photography?
oh, all sorts.
Sounds a bit,
What you can imagine.
yeah, fair enough. We'll leave it there. So yeah, like, do you have some, obviously you've gone on to have like good relationships with the likes of the Libertines. And is it kind of thing where you have to like, you kind of have to build trust with people kind of thing?
Yeah, I'd say so, definitely. Especially with like the Libertines, like baby shambles in the days where it wasn't so good, and there was like a whole lot of stuff going on backstage. Obviously, like I didn't take photos of that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? It was just, but I think because I knew when to put my camera down and I didn't take the piss and stuff, sorry. That's why they then trust me, because they're like, oh well, she's not going to go and sell the pictures to the papers, and you know what I mean? It's, but yeah, and after all this time, then yeah. But it's good because if they trust you, then you get the access and you get the photos that you want and stuff.
And what kind of, you mentioned that pretty mad gig in Stoke. Like, would that make for the best photos when things were a bit, I don't know, unusually chaotic?
I like stuff like that. But then I like just kind of like hanging out with the bands, and just like I went on tour with the Sunshine Underground, and just like they all say, oh, it's that boring, just waiting for a gig. And I'm like, no, this is great. I'm getting a photo of you doing this, and just like chilling out and just getting loads like reportage style stuff. I like stuff like that rather than like posing people and stuff like that, which is why I like live stuff, because sometimes it's a proper challenge trying to get a decent photo if the lighting's rubbish. And sometimes, like if I'm not with a band that I work with loads and you only get the first three songs, the lighting can be really rubbish, and you're like, you're lucky if you come away with like five decent shots. It's just, but well, different people work different ways as well. Some people just like bang off loads of shots, but I don't like doing it. I kind of frame them, and if I've worked with someone a few times, it's like, okay, well, I know in this song he'll do this, and stuff like that. So like I'll try and get a picture of that this time and try and plan my shots a little bit, but sometimes you can't do that. It's just get what you can. Be quick.
I was watching, you might have watched it, it was like a documentary about rock photography on Sky
Oh no, what's
a while
that?
ago. I'll try and find the name of it for you. But yeah, there's some cool stuff on that, with like all different people and the guy who like shot the Strokes album cover and stuff like that. But yeah, I didn't really realise that thing about, the first three songs. Yeah,
Yeah.
different artists will say like, yeah, you can only take photos for like the first couple of songs or something.
Yeah, that's like the general rule is the first three songs with no flash. But then some are like, well, you can only shoot from this side of the pit, or you can only shoot from the mixing desk, and just I hate stuff like that. That's why I like little venues and like all these arena gigs where you need massive lenses. You're not getting the atmosphere and you're not in it. If that makes sense.
I can imagine Libertines, it's a bit of a free-for-all, isn't it?
No,
Oh, not
good
really.
question. Yeah. Luckily, because I've worked with them loads, then I do get like stage access or like full access, because I like to do the first few in the pit, but then go out in the crowd or on the stage for a bit and then come back in the pit. But yeah,
Okay,
I've always said it should be the last three songs in the pit, not the first three.
Yeah, that made more sense.
Should be the
then yes, yeah, so you're going on, you say about going on tour with Sunshine Underground, like how does something like that come about? Do they just kind of invite you along kind of thing, or
Just because I'd worked with them loads,
right?
really. But that's the good thing, because when I started, it was just like every band, like I say, every week at the Underground, regardless of who was playing, I was doing it for the enemy. So I was there every Saturday. And then like other local venues, I'd be there building up my portfolio and getting to know people and stuff like that. But then as time goes on, you kind of just like you say, just build up relationships with people. So like Sunshine Underground, We Are Scientists, I used to do loads with the Cribs, Block Party, obviously Libertines, and then Baby Shambles and stuff. But Charlatans, it's just kind of working more with them. But then the more you work with them, kind of the more access and stuff you get, because you've done more with them.
Yeah. I was looking at the ones with the Cribs from a few years ago. They're really good. Like the ones where Ryan's wearing like Love Heart sunglasses.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're quality then.
They've just used my pictures in their book. You know, they've done the reissues.
Oh, right, okay.
Of like the coloured vinyl and stuff. They've put out like a book in the limited edition box set. Well, that's got some of my photos in.
Ah, nice one. So
when they got in touch about that, it was just ace, because like, I've loved them for years.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it quite cool, like, obviously, like being around them and like taking photos of them from right back in the day till now?
Yeah.
Must be quite cool to see that journey.
Yeah, it is. It's nice that I can still do it.
Yeah. Yes. And then, you know, being a part of NME, like, was there any cool stuff with that? Would you like to get together with other photographers? Obviously some big names, photographers at NME kind
Not
of thing.
Not so much, no. Like, I met, like, at, you know, like, V Festival and, like, Reading and stuff like that. Like, at festivals, I'd meet up with a few of them. But not so much any other time, really. Like, I used to go down to London sometimes, but, like, they had, like, regional photographers in each area, so I didn't really... Like, the London photographers, like Andrew Kendall back in the day and stuff, he did a lot of Libertines and things, but... So, like, any London stuff, they wouldn't get me to go down because there was already somebody there that did it and stuff like that, so not so much, really.
Ah, okay, so you're more like the go-to person up north kind of thing?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, cool. And then, yeah, you mentioned festivals, like... I can imagine it's pretty mad doing festivals, isn't it? Like, is it a bit more... I don't know, a bit harder to work there?
Yeah, my first festival was V Festival, but that came off the back of them Baby Shamble pictures from the Underground. And I didn't know how it all worked. I'd only just started doing it. And I literally just rang them up and was like, can I come and take photos? And I ended up being the promoter's photographer, but it's just completely different. Like, you have to meet the press people like 15 minutes before, and then they have to escort you into the pit, and you can't just go where you want and do what you want so much. But because I was the promoter's photographer, I could kind of go a little bit. So like, I could go backstage and like in the dressing areas and stuff and on the side of the stage, and it was a little bit better, but it's just hard work because there's so many. Like,
yeah.
There can be like 20, 30 photographers, and you just try to get that different picture, because otherwise you're all stood at the same spot getting the same picture, and it's...
Oh,
what's the point?
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Is that like I'm pretty sure we had Guy Eppel on. I'm pretty sure he said, yeah, the number of photographers has increased a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder why that is. Is it just because of the technology is readily available now, kind of thing?
I think so, yeah. Like, there used to be a thing that, like, you had to have SLRs and stuff like that. Whereas, like, now people are in the pit with, like, phones and stuff. It's changed completely, but... Kind of good. It's advantages and disadvantages, aren't it?
Yeah, because on that documentary they're talking about, like, digital versus, I don't know if you call it analog, do you?
Yeah,
analog. Yeah, is that kind of an argument between that? Is like where do you stand on that? I don't know.
I still use film.
Right, okay.
Not so much. Just I can process black and white myself, so that's not too bad. Because I'll just process it and then scan in the next. But like, for timing wise, like, the film stuff is more just for like little personal projects and stuff. Whereas like your everyday stuff that you need, it's all digital, just because they need it so quick as well nowadays. It's like, yeah. If I do the Libertines normally, like, I'll shoot the gig and then go home, sort out normally like my best 8-10 shots and send them straight to them so that they can get them up on socials like then or the next day or whatever, so you can't wait for me to process my films.
Okay, yeah, I suppose, is there a bigger market for that now than with social media, that bands themselves or artists themselves will employ people to take photos more?
Yeah, I think it's really hard though, because a lot where like money's concerned, like a lot of people, there's a massive argument with like photographers saying, oh, don't shoot for free because it, you know, people have got to make a living out of it. And if I shoot for free, then why am I going to pay, I don't know, such and such to do it if I'll do it for free? And there's like that massive argument, but bands kind of expect stuff for free because it's because you're not using film these days, and this makes me sound dead old, but like because it's digital, and they're like, well, it's not costing her anything, it's just a few photos on a memory stick. She's literally got to email them to us. So they don't really see the value so much. Like, you don't take into account like the time it takes you to edit them and the cost of your camera and the memory cards and your experience and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's quick and easy. Do you know what I mean? It's so it is hard in that sense, but I think most people appreciate it. Most, I
That's interesting.
think.
I think we went to you go to that Castlefield ball gig, Libertines.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, me and my mate went to that. But yeah, I was just thinking, is it quite? You know, it's quite a different type of venue, isn't it? Does that make for more
Yeah.
interesting photos?
Yeah, it was good there. It was all right. I shot the Libertines at Coventry Cathedral last summer sometime, like last August or something. But that was really good. Just like, just because it was like an outdoor gig, but it was like in the cathedral ruins, and it was just very strange, but dead good. It was ace.
Yeah.
Made for different shots.
Yes. And yeah, I don't know your personal relationship with people like P. Dockett and stuff. I don't know. Like, you do seem to have a good relationship with him. Like, I've seen pictures where, is it your daughter? Like,
Yeah.
yeah, she gets involved as well, which is cool to see
Oh
as well.
yeah, she does. She takes better pictures than me sometimes. I turn up at gigs and they're like, oh, where's Gig Junkie Junior?
She quite keen on it then.
Yeah, she loves it.
Ah,
She
nice.
does. She
She like
sometimes gets like a triple A pass with me, and then that's it. She's in the pit dancing and singing and taking photos.
Ah, quality,
It's
yeah.
great because she loves it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 22 Grand Pod. If noughties guitar music is your thing, then you might enjoy our Patreon page, where for £3 a month you will get access to the following series. The Noughties Deep Dive, where we go through the likes of the Stalking Pete Doherty documentary in painful detail. My favourite 2000s album, where patrons and other guests come on to talk about their favourite album of the era. Legend or Landfill, in which we go through Enemy's top 10 albums of each year from 2001 and see if we think they are indeed legendary or for the landfill. Unsigned Stories, where we chat to bands that didn't quite make it in terms of signing that elusive record deal. We also have Fan Stories, where I talk to people about their memories and opinions on all things noughties indie. You also get early access to any main podcast episodes, and it's also worth checking out the YouTube page, where you can see extended video versions of the interviews, as well as plenty of other bits of commentary and opinion. All links are in the description. Now back to the pod. Is there anyone kind of that you've looked up to over the years in terms of photographer that you take kind of inspiration from?
Like a long time ago, like Jill Fromanowski was always like, she did a lot of Oasis stuff. She was one. And Linda McCartney, like a lot of people don't think of Linda McCartney as a photographer, but like her band stuff is amazing. And it was them two that really, like, when I was doing photography, like at school and college and stuff, I always wanted to do music photography because of them two. But then I was like, oh, that's kind of like, you can't do that as a job. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, I'll do like forensics, I'll do police stuff instead. And then end up at the hospital and doing band stuff. So it was ace. But yeah, I'd say those two are the most influential, really. And then I met Jill Fromanowski. She did, I forget what it was called, but something at Manchester Library a few
All
years ago now. But I was like proper fangirl. I took my book and got her to sign my book and stuff.
Quality.
But yeah, that was good because I was showing her my photos as well, because she does a lot. Like, she's like Oasis photographer. But I shot their last gig
Oh, really?
at B Festival, because they did the Saturday night at Stafford,
Yeah.
and then didn't do this. They were supposed to do the Sunday in Chelmsford, and they didn't. So the Saturday night that I did was the last ever Oasis gig.
Wow, that's
Yeah,
pretty good, isn't it? Those photos must be in demand.
I know. Also, I wanted to photograph them for years and then I did the last one.
It's all right, isn't it?
At least I got to shoot them.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine Liam lends himself quite well to photos, does he?
Yeah. Well, it was a tough shoot, though. I remember that just because it was like late at night on V Festival. I think it was raining and it was just a million people in the pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
And then, yeah, I saw something about Peter Docky exhibition. Were you featured in it, kind of thing?
Yeah, that was in Glasgow last year. It was a project that this guy, Joe Henry, had done with Peter. So there was some prisoners that they were doing like rehabilitation and stuff and like how they can use art as therapy and all that kind of stuff. So Peter went in and did like a session with them. And they were like all drawing pictures of Peter and he's like played a few songs for them and stuff like that. And he had a chat with them all. And then there's a picture of mine. You've probably seen it. It was used on that poster. That's from like a lot. That's from like 2004, 2005, that photo. But what they did is they had a copy of that. And then they each did like their own interpretations of it. And like some of them kind of cut it up and like at the exhibition, they had some of my photos, but then all the ones that the prisoners had done. So it's like, oh, I did this like this because I like David Hockney, or I did this because I thought the colour red meant this. And just like what they'd all done with it and the reasons behind it all and stuff. It was just, it was amazing. It was dead good. But yeah, it was nice to be involved in something like that as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think I watched... Yeah, the BBC thing about that. Was it like an interview?
Yeah, the little doctor, yeah.
That's cool, though. It'd be good if some more stuff comes out like that, I think.
Yeah.
Be great.
Well, it was dead good to be involved in stuff like that.
And then, yeah, I just wondered where, you know, obviously like this podcast is always kind of reflecting on the past. but from your point of view, like, were gigs more exciting back in the day, or do you think we kind of look at it a bit rose-tinted?
Probably a bit of both. I always think like, is it just because I'm getting old that I don't get that same, or is it because the bands are different, or is it just like a bit of everything? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just, but yeah, they were good times.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, a bit more young and carefree. But I think like in terms of Gig Junkie, it was just such, like, without sounding like a geek, just such exciting times because it was just, it was full on and like everything was just kind of spiraling. Like I'd get to know someone and then like, oh, well, I work with these, you can shoot these. And then it just like the links between all the bands and the promoters and like all the different stuff I was getting. And then at the time I had my website, which I do still have a website. It's basically one page that links to Facebook and everything else. But I used to be like obsessed with updating my website after every single gig. I'd go home and get the photos on straight away. And like the stats and the numbers on my website were just like going through the roof. And I used to get dead excited and just like the whole buzz about everything, you know what I mean? But I suppose it's just changes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can imagine it's a lot more, like you say, like you've described already, just a bit more open kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and good times.
Is it kind of job where it's about taking opportunities, really, or like kind of going for it, even if it might be a bit, I suppose, might be a bit daunting at first, some of it.
Yeah, even now, to be honest, which sometimes I think is a good thing, but like I still get nervous at gigs, like going before Google, like my tummy starts going and stuff. It's like, God, I was so nervous, like I've shot this band a million times, but it's because you just never know what the venue's like or what the lighting's like or like, how big the stage is, or you know what I mean, just all that, and you never know what all that's going to be like.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at some of, there's an album on Facebook, I think, your Prince. And,
Yeah,
some cool ones in there of like Alex Turner and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, I always like asking about Arctic Monkeys because we don't talk about them loads on the podcast. But yeah, were they quite a good band to photograph? Yeah. Obviously, being a Northern band as well.
I photographed them like when they really first started. I think it was at like Wolverhampton or somewhere. it was when I had a really rubbish camera. I remember that because I photographed them, and I was just, that was when they were just coming through. And then I never got a chance to photograph them again. Like every time I just could never get a photo pass, or the dates didn't work out or whatever. And then when I did photograph them, I can't think what festival, it might've been a V festival one year. It was at a festival and I was like, right, I'm definitely shooting them. So I managed to get some really good shots that I was quite proud of. So that was good. But I've seen they've just put tour dates out, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. Me and my mates have been talking about it.
I don't like arenas, but then I'm like, maybe.
It's like massive football stadiums and stuff. Be interesting.
But exactly, so I'd wanted to photograph them like forever and just never, I could never get to a gig, or there was just always something stopping me. But then I managed to shoot them like in June this year.
Yeah, is that in Manchester?
Yeah, that I went to that as well. Amazing. That was just probably one of my most favourite gigs. But
yeah, I mean, I bet she, Karen, was great for photos as well, like kind of the outfits and stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because I'd wanted to shoot them for so long and stuff. It's just, it was ace.
No, it was a great gig. So when you're applying for different gigs and stuff and festivals, are you just like emailing the promoters?
Yeah, usually. I tend to go through the bands more so.
Okay, right.
Than promoters, just, I don't know why, I've just always done it, just because in the old days with like MySpace and stuff, you could just contact bands directly. So I've always kind of gone that route in, like through the band's manager or the tour manager, and like if I can just get in touch with the bands themselves and go that way. Or like through the venues as well is another good way, like with the local venues in Stoke. Like when I first started, I'd shoot for them. So that kind of got you to all the gigs that were going on at that particular venue.
Yeah.
You knew you could get in, kind of thing. So.
Okay.
Kind of worked it that way.
And then, yeah, got a couple of questions. One from Paul Big Liz asks, is there a band or an artist that you're yet to work with that you'd like to photograph?
Before Juno would have said the yes.
Right, yeah.
I don't really know, to be honest. I think I'm really lucky that I get to work with.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've done a hell of a lot, yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of my favourite bands I get to work with. I would like to shoot the Strokes again. I did them like years and years ago.
Okay, when about was that?
I would like to shoot them again. I think that was at a V Festival, to be honest.
Oh, right, okay.
Must have been V. I don't think they played it at Reading. Yeah, it must have been V.
When did that? Is that stopped V Festival? I don't really know.
Yeah, it went a bit rubbish, to be honest.
Okay.
It was quite really, popped, really good. And then, but yeah, it stopped quite a few years ago now.
Okay. I went to one in Chelmsford one year because Carlin ran like a competition to win two tickets. So I did that when I was like, I think I was only 16 at the time, not 17, and like you have to be over 18. So I thought I was just going to get him taken off me, but we managed to make it. But that Oasis played that year, actually. 2000.
That'll probably be. Oh, no, that won't be that year, yeah.
2005, I think that was.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But yeah, it was good. And then, one from Adam Wilson says, it's quite a hard question, I suppose, but is there a favourite gig that you've done?
Oh, God.
Or maybe a top three.
That being like a super fan, I'd have to say Libertines.
Early days, or?
Say now, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bit more harmonious now.
Yeah, I can't really explain it, but yeah, the early days were ace, but I think like now, just, and because I know them all, so like so much differently to years ago and stuff, if it makes sense. But yeah, because of like the relationship that I've built up with them and stuff, I'd say these latest gigs that.
Yeah.
Good ones.
It's pretty good, like Castlefield. I was saying there's something about the anniversary that kind of makes it more special. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you buy into it more, I think.
Stuff and that. It's like, because they're doing some dates in Europe. So I'm going to Amsterdam in November.
Okay, cool.
That should be really good. I'm looking forward to that. It's a venue called Milk. Oh, it's the Milky Way. I don't know how you say it in Amsterdam. And Dutch, even not Amsterdam. But yeah, so I've shot in that venue a couple of times, so that should be good. Look forward to that because I've not been there for years. So.
Ah, cool. No, it's funny, at Castfield when Pete started like threatening to play Baby Shambles songs, I was enjoying that. I think the others knew what to do, really. And then, yeah, Rob Ferriby, I was asking like how you got into it, and we've kind of covered that, but is there any, yeah, you must get younger photographers asking you like advice on how to get into it, but is it a bit harder these days to get into, do you think? Suppose the accent, I suppose everyone's got a camera these days, but
Yeah, I'd say it's possibly harder just because there's so many more people doing it. But it's just kind of building up a portfolio is the most important thing I could say, really. And that's the thing with building up a portfolio, that it doesn't have to be like the big bands. Like, you're better off shooting at little venues with the rubbish lighting, that you've kind of got to work and get your technique sorted and stuff like that. Because, like, you go to big arenas and the lighting's lovely, do you know what I mean?
yeah.
You don't have to worry about your exposure so much. Whereas if you're at a little venue and they've got like dry ice and red lights, it's a struggle sometimes. So it's good to kind of build your portfolio up with stuff like that, so that you're building your technique and your experience and everything at the same time. And then once you've got a few decent images behind you in your portfolio, get in touch with, might say, promoters, venues, whatever, and just try and get out there, really. But it's a lot easier with like digital and stuff, and like you say, social media and stuff. It's a lot easier now to just like send people links to your Instagram or your Twitter or whatever, and they can see there instantly. And it's like when I'm at gigs, I always take a few and upload them pretty much straight away. So, like, even while the gig's still on, there's pictures there already, do you know what I mean? And stuff. And then obviously, like, the other ones I'll sort when I get home, but I'm gonna try and get a few on straight away.
So we just have like your camera connected to your laptop kind of thing.
Well, I normally just take a few on my phone,
Okay, right.
but I just had a new camera and it's got Wi-Fi, so
Ah, nice.
I'll wait till the
What, so you can just connect
next
that
gig.
to like your social straight away?
Yeah.
Ah, right, that's what
So I was practicing with it last night. I like, sent a couple to my phone. I was like, yes, this is going to be great.
Quality. So have like, have you been able to just focus on music photography then, or have you had like had to have other like sideline jobs?
Well, I've always worked full time as well, so
Right, okay.
I've been quite lucky in that sense. So, like, I was a medical photographer for years. I used to teach photography at Stoke College, and then I'm a radiographer now.
All right.
So I do 3 nights a week in
Okay.
A&E taking X-rays,
Right. Really like
and the rest of my nights I'm at gigs. Yeah.
all aspects of photography you're doing, yeah. That's cool, that. So how long's that, how long do you have to do training for that? Yeah.
Radiography, 3 years.
All right, okay.
So
Is that
I
a
went back
degree?
to uni, like, yeah, I went
Right,
back to
right.
uni a few years ago. I've been qualified like 2.5 years now, so.
Ah, cool.
But yeah, I just thought, if I'm going to have a change of career, I'm going to do it now. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I think it's similar for like musicians now, isn't it? Like, you know, people talk about bands getting signed now, but they still have jobs.
Yeah.
'Cause yeah, you need something else. But yeah.
It's just because the music industry's just changed that much, and it's just going to keep changing, isn't it? It's like for bands and stuff with all the, like all the Spotify stuff and all that that's going on with them. It's so hard for a band to actually make money. It's unless they're like the big band, you know what I mean? But
Yeah, that's true. And then just in terms of new bands, obviously seen your pictures with the likes of Trampoline. Were you kind of,
yeah.
obviously like they've got a good relationship with the Libertines and stuff, but is it sometimes just a case of like you'll hear a band that you're into and you'll maybe try and go photograph them kind of thing?
Sometimes, yeah, it's like a lot of the bands is because like like the libertines and trampoline, and they've got like Peter's got a label strap, but they've got another band called Vonnebella, which were like, they're amazing, they're dead good, which I probably wouldn't have heard if it wasn't for Strap and, you know, like giving them support slots for they like Peter and stuff like that. So there is that way, but then there's also like other bands that like Ren Harvey, I don't know if that's how you even say it. But yeah, Ren, I just heard her and just was like obsessed. She's just amazing. But she's one that I was like, that's one that I wanted to focus on. And I was like, I really need to see her. I need to see her. And like, I bought a ticket and everything. I was like, I'm just going to go as a fan. I don't want to take photos. I just want to see her. And then I was like, no, I can't go to a gig without a camera. So then I ended up getting in touch with them and I did get a photo pass in the end, but stuff like that, really. Like Sea Fever. I'm going to see them. I think that's the end of October at the Deaf Institute. Well, that should be really good. I've seen them a few times now, but they're ace.
Okay. So it's a good way of getting a free ticket as well sometimes.
It's quite cool. I don't think I've really paid for a gig since 2004, so
Oh yes.
maybe the odd one.
Then yeah, am I right in thinking your mates is Shane Meadows as well?
Not Shane, Paddy.
Paddy, sorry, what am I talking about? Paddy Constantine. Sorry, I got
So
him.
Paddy's got a band, Riding the Low, which I've shot them like loads of times over the years, like years and years. I think like 2006 or something was the first time I photographed them. But yeah, because one of the other things I've always wanted to do was like film stills, which again was one of them jobs that I was like, yeah, nobody gets to do film stills. And then working with Paddy, and he was doing a film, Journeyman. I don't know if you've seen it. And it's really, really good, about a boxer. And he said I could go and do stills on his film set. So that was just amazing. That was like, that was one of the best days ever. That was, it was dead good. But also
Yes.
like a little dream to go and do it as well. So yeah, that was ace.
Pod.